Father in heaven, we just spend some time talking to you, lifting up Pastor Amy to you, some of the concerns on her heart and our hearts for her. Now we're going to shift gears. We're going to open up our own hearts to hear from you this morning. We're going to open up your word. We're going to read it and study it together and reflect on it. And as we do, I just pray that your Spirit would speak to us. All of us here this morning need to hear from you. And I just pray that your Spirit would be at work among us right now. We give this time to you. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So I invite you to turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. If you don't have a Bible, there's a stack of them right here on a table back here. You can come and get one. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 is found on page 807. Since it's Bloom 08, I'm going to be talking about things that make us grow. I'm going to look at how God makes us grow. To help us do that, we're going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3 here. And Paul's writing to a church in Corinth who is looking to other things for them to grow. So 1 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. Here Paul writes, he says, "Brothers and sisters, I could not address you as spiritual but as worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. You are still worldly, for since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere men? For when one says, 'I follow Paul,' and another says, 'I follow Apollos,' are you not mere men? What, after all, is Apollos? And what is Paul? Only servants, through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each his task. I, that is Paul, planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The man who plants and the man who waters have one purpose, and each will be rewarded according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building." And then verse 7 again. "So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow." People of God, flowers are amazing things. They come in all kinds of different shapes and sizes. There you go. Little purple ones. How do you say it, Heather? Blue Danube. Ageratum. See, I had to ask Heather, I'm like, how do you say that, ageratum? She says it from the color flower family. See how small? See how delicate?
No?
Oh, then you're fooling with me beforehand.
No, I just said if you touch the bloom, it feels like cauliflower.
It does. Okay, I'm not getting any more botanical advice from Heather. Who knows what these are? Anybody seen these before? Yeah? What? Nope, these aren't the petunias. Nope. Yes, Megan. Begonias, that's right. Begonias. Pink ones. Look at that. Huh? All right. Here we go. We're going to be seeing a lot of these later, so if you can't get a good close-up view, and if you're going to be out on your hands and knees, you'll see plenty of them. How about this? Who knows what these are? What? Petunias. That's right. Petunias. Some are small and delicate. Others are really big and robust. How about these? Do you know what these are? Sunflowers. That's right. How tall are sunflowers? How tall can they grow? About as big as me, right? I could be a sunflower. Twice that size? Can they really get over, like, 14-foot sunflower? Okay. Now that's a big sunflower, isn't that? Right? Some very small, some 14 feet tall. The ceiling here is about, I think, 18, 19 feet. So figure 14 feet, about right where the lights are. It's a pretty big flower. But no matter what size, whether, right, very small or very big, which way do flowers grow? Up. Toward what? The sun. That's right. Flowers always want to go toward the sun. If you plant them horizontally, they'll kind of start to curve. They want to get toward the sun. Some flowers even, what they call, follow the sun. Who knows which way? East. East this way. Right? In the morning, they're facing this way. And then they track the sun. Right? So as the sun goes to the west, and then they finish the day over here. Who knows what that's called? Anybody know what that the term is that talks about that? Any botanists out there? Phototropism. How about that? Phototropism. Photo light, tropism, moving, right? They move with the sun. Follow the sun. Why do plants follow the sun? Because the sun is the source of their life. The sun is what makes plants grow. Without the sun's light, they are not going to grow. They're going to die and wither. I spread some bark for a neighbor yesterday, and what did I do? I put a fabric down. To what? Block out the sun, because I don't want weeds to grow there. Right? Plants need the sun. Without it, they'll die. I hope those weeds will die underneath that little carpet. Right? So those plants, they move, they follow, trying to reach. They do whatever is necessary to move, to reach, to follow that sun, because it's their source of life. In the passage that we read in 1 Corinthians, Paul's desire for the church in Corinth is the same thing, that they desire and that they follow the thing that's going to enable them to grow, the thing that's going to bring them life. Paul's desire for you and for me is the very same thing. That we too follow, that we bend, that we seek after what will make us grow. The church in Corinth had a problem. And the problem was this. Many people in the church in Corinth were following and they were identifying themselves with something that was not going to bring them life. That was the problem. And that something happened to be either Paul or Apollos. There were two camps, two groups of people, and they were identifying themselves with the leaders. Paul and Apollos. When I read this, I pictured myself in an arena. Any of you ever been in an arena? Right? Group of fans over here. Paul! Apollos! All right, here we go, guys. Ready? Paul! All right, great. Apollos! Thank you. All right, one more time. Paul! That's right. Apollos! That's right. Here we are. That's right. Right? Paul, Apollos. I remember those cheerleaders in grade school and high school. We got Paul. Yes, we do. We got Paul. How about you? Forget that. Right? We got Apollos. Yes, we do. We got Apollos. How about you? Two camps. Looking after their leaders. But Paul says, wait a minute. Wrong. Wrong chant. Wrong cheer. You're cheering for the wrong thing. Paul wants to put an end to this. This Paul and this Apollos. This two camp thing. Because he says, we can't bring the life that you're looking for. You're looking in the wrong spot. What does Paul say in verse 5? He says, what after all is Apollos? And what is Paul? He says, they're only servants through whom the church in Corinth came to believe. He goes, don't put your faith, hope, and trust in me. as your leader. Put your faith, hope, and trust in the one that I taught you about. Put your faith and trust in the Lord. I'm just a servant. Don't be looking after the servant, lifting that up. I can't make you grow. Only God can. Paul reminds them that he and Apollos are only servants of God, who talked with them about God and how God has redeemed them, how He's forgiven them, how He's enriched them, how He's given grace to their lives through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. This was the message He brought. And they forgot about the message and they were lifting up the messenger. Instead, He says, no. If you look to Me, I'm going to let you down. If you look to Me, you're going to slowly wither away. I can't make you grow. Only God can. And Paul desires to remind us who are here of the very same thing. He says, don't look to other things to make you grow. He says, look to God and God alone. When I was studying this and reflecting on that situation and picturing this cheer, right, Paul, Apollos, I thought, how silly of them. How silly that a church would look to someone like me, right, and think, oh, that I can make them grow. But the more I thought about it, I was like, well, don't we often do that sometimes ourselves? Aren't we often like the church in Corinth? If we're honest with ourselves, we're able to examine our own hearts and lives, just like God allowed me to do this week, don't we often do the very same thing? Don't we replace God for something else? Don't we often fail to give credit back to God for His work in our lives, for the growth that He brings, and instead give that credit to money? The money we have, that's what allows me to grow and to buy the things that I need. God doesn't make me grow. My earning potential, that's what enables me to grow and thrive. It's not my money. Maybe it's my title. It's my title on the door. God doesn't make me grow. My own abilities. I can do it. I can make myself grow. Maybe it's my education, how much knowledge I have. God doesn't make me grow. All that education, all that training that I received, that's what made me grow. Rather than acknowledging God as the source of our life, we acknowledge our money, we rest on our education, we rest on our livelihood instead. We substitute the work that we do. We substitute the work of God for physical things that we can see, right, that we can touch, that we can feel. Instead of reaching for God, right? Instead of twisting, bending, doing whatever we can to follow Him, we look for something around here, a title. Right? We look in our wallet if I can get it out. There's not much in there right now if I remember right. Yeah. We look in here. Oh, not going to do much growing now because this thing's empty. But Paul says, it's not found here. Life can't be found there. It's not found in our money. It's not found in our jobs. It's not found in our intellect. It's not found in friends. Therefore, Paul, he desires us to look deeper, to look beyond the physical, beyond the people, beyond the titles, beyond the education, beyond the money, beyond these servants, these things that serve us well, but are not the things that make us grow. He says, look beyond those to the Master, the one who provides us with these things, the one who gives us a head to think with, to learn with, the one who provides us with a job and a nice place to live. The one who gives us these great gifts. Paul's desire is that we remember, that we look beyond and don't mistake the servants for the Master. Paul's desire is that we take time this morning and confess this morning that it is not this, right? Not this. Not that title, right? Henry, that's out on my office. It's not that. That makes me grow. It's not that that makes you grow. It's God who makes us grow, Paul says once. It's God who makes us grow, Paul says twice. It's God who makes things grow. It's God who makes me grow. It's God who makes me grow. It's God who makes me grow. It's God who makes us here grow. It's God who makes us grow. It's God who makes us grow. Paul's desire is that we, like those flowers, we bend, right? And we stretch, and we reach. Not here, not here, but to Him. We follow Him wherever He leads. We do whatever it takes, because He, Paul says, is the source of our life. Sunflowers, they turn their faces with that sun. Paul's desire is that we turn our faces toward Him, wherever He may be. And we praise Him for who He is and what He has done for us. When there's money in the wallet, we say, "Thank you, Lord." When there's a job, we say, "Thank you, Lord." When we sit down at the table and we eat together, we say, "Thank you." We acknowledge, right? We go beyond. Say, "Lord, thank you." Would you do that with me this morning? Would you turn your eyes, your heart, your face to Him? It's God who makes us grow. Would you pray with me? Father in heaven, we come before You now, reminded by Your word to us that it is You. That it is You who makes us grow. We are reminded that it is You and You alone that is the source of our life. So we seek to take some time this morning to acknowledge You and to praise You for what You have done and what You are doing in our lives. Lord, enable us to see that this morning. Enable us to look deeper, to be able to look beyond the servants, to look beyond the things that You have provided for us, to see You as the One who has provided them. As we continue to worship You this morning, as we bend and as we turn our hearts toward You, speak to us. Speak to us by Your Spirit. Speak to us the words of life and the encouragement that we need to hear today. Call out to us this morning. Convict us. Challenge us. Push us. Lift us. But most of all, remind us. Remind us that it is not us or the things that this world offers us that can redeem us, that can save us, that can forgive us, that can bring us the grace and mercy that we need. It's not us. But it's You and You alone. It's You and the work of Your Son, Jesus Christ. Dear Lord, as we sing this next song, speak to us through these words. Remind us that it's not about us, but it's all about You. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.